cellar dwellers got the energy, yeah. You can subscribe to our vibe. Cellar dwellers got the energy, yeah. You can subscribe to our vibe.
Dweller Talk with the freaker from your speaker, Go-Go McSprinkles.
Hello, my lovelies. Welcome back to a long-awaited episode of Dweller Talk, the show where we chat about all things Keller Williams and his music. I had a brief hiatus for a little while, and I appreciate that you guys tolerated that emptiness while I was off existing. So I wanted to share with you guys what I've been up to. I decided, with the help of my therapist, to address my pot smoking issues and my frequency and my dependence upon it. So I've weaned myself off of it, and it's been over a month since I've smoked anything at all. So it was quite the challenging month, and I talk about it a little bit in the podcast. But basically, as soon as I stopped smoking, I realized I had a lot of depression and a lot of issues to deal with. So it got a little ugly for a while. There were some days where I couldn't get out of bed, let alone think about making a podcast. So I apologize that this got affected by my depression. But anyway, I'm working through that. I'm working on being the best me I can be, I guess. So here I am, back in the thick of it, trying to get this started again. I appreciate that everyone in the Discord server was really helpful and kept me above water while I struggled. So anyway, so this week I sat down with Helissimo and we chatted about Keller, and we chatted a little bit about pot and some of the challenges we've faced throughout the years with pot and depression and anxiety and some stuff like that. So it's a little heavier of a Dweller Talk episode than usual, but there's a lot of fun stuff in there too, and a lot of good Keller stories. So without further ado, please enjoy. Okay, so I'm here with the lovely Helissimo. Thank you for joining me.
Thank you for having me.
Certainly. So let's start by talking a little bit about your username. So where did you come up with Helissimo?
So Helissimo is a name that I've been using for years. I think It started with Yahoo Messenger.
Oh, boy.
Way back when I was probably like 12 or 13. And especially when you're young and you want to have like a cool screen name or whatever. Mm-hmm. And like everything I picked was taken. And I just kind of got really frustrated. And I just made up a word, which was Helissimo. And that wasn't taken. And then so, you know, moving forward, it became like my email handle. Then, you know, just kind of used it for different things here and there. But I've never been so attached to it as I have been since I started using it in the cellar.
Aw, hearing Keller sing it so many different times in so many
exactly
different ways.
Yes, exactly.
Aww. It's a really pretty word. Like, it's fun to say.
It is, yeah.
Helissimo.
Yeah, and it's interesting too, because I've never heard anyone like mispronounce it either. So, you know, like, it's pretty easy to read, even though it's a made up word and say. Although it kind of reminds me a little bit of like bellissimo, which might have been where it, you know, where it came from. So it sounds a little Italian, I guess.
I could hear that, yeah.
Yeah, although it's interesting too, in the cellar, for a while when I first was in there, people thought that I was a man.
Really?
I was like, what about my personality is coming across as masculine, you know? And I had said something to my friend about it, and she was like, well, with the O at the end of your name, like, it sounds masculine, I guess. Mm-hmm. So maybe that's where that's coming from. So
I could see
that's
that.
That's what I
talked
it up to. Yeah.
Helissimo. That's funny. I know. Yes. I'm Go-Go McSprinkles in Reddit, and sometimes people reply to my comments and they'll refer to me as a guy, and I'm like, what about my name screams male?
Right.
I never figured that one out. I thought that was weird. Yeah.
That is interesting.
Oh. Yeah. It's happened more than once. I was like, okay, I'll roll with it.
Yep.
Alrighty. So I asked you here specifically for a reason, I guess. I'm going to talk a little bit about my interesting adventures here in the intro. But basically, I've decided to change my pot usage habits. And it's been over a month since I've smoked pot. The last time I smoked pot was September 25th. And it's now October 29th. So it's been like quite a while for me. And I haven't gone that long since oh my God, since I was pregnant in like 2011. So, So it's been quite a big undertaking for me. It's been in a lot of ups and downs, but I thought, well, okay, so if I'm going to like minimize my pot usage, I don't know what life following Keller is like as a sober person. So I know that you're not a big pot smoker. So I thought it'd be really nice to chat with you and get your perspective and hear what it's like being a Keller fan and not smoking and enjoying the music. So that's why I asked you here. Okay. So let's talk a little bit about some of your like hobbies and what you're into, since it's not pot smoking. So what do you do in your spare time?
So recently, I don't have a ton of spare time. And that's because we could call it a hobby. I do run a food stand on the weekends on top of my regular day job. So so that takes up a lot of my time. But it is kind of fits in with one of my hobbies, which is food. And I love cooking and baking. So kind of fit right into that. So I don't have a ton of time to do, you know, my other hobbies on top of the stand and my regular job, which take up a lot of my attention. But outside of that, I like art a lot. I like to read. I do a lot of hiking and walking.
Nice.
So those kind of encompass most of my hobbies.
So what motivates you to do the stand week after week?
Commitment, I think. actually been really thinking about not doing it. This weekend will be the last of the season. I have a break and then I'm deciding whether or not I will continue next season. But it is hard, especially this time of year, because this has been 6 months of me not having a weekend off. And it gets hard to wake up at 3 a.m, you know, every Sunday.
Oh my God.
But it actually is a really great group of people that come every week. So we have the vendors that are regulars that they're here, you know, 4 a.m. on Sunday, and they come for their coffee and donut, and they're just, you know, get some really great people that I've been able to interact with, especially throughout the pandemic, which has been really great, you know, for me to get that socialization. And also, you know, the people, my mom helps me a lot. And so she might work sometimes, or my neighbor will work, and we have a lot of fun. So I think that motivation is just that connection with people, and that having fun, and also getting to eat all the leftovers is always great.
That sounds amazing. That would make it worth it, especially, you know, like the 3 a.m. part. Yeah.
Exactly.
That's awesome. That's pretty cool. Alrighty. So when did you first hear about Keller's music? What was your life like at that point where you first heard Keller?
So I first heard Keller, I must have been 18 or 19. I was moving across the country. I currently live in New England, and which is where I went to school. When I finished school, I moved to Seattle, and my sister ended up driving with me out there. My sister is older than I am, and she has always had a very, very eclectic taste in music, and kind of shared that with me. So growing up, you know, I was exposed to all different sorts of music. So on that trip out there, one of the CDs that she brought was Keller's Laugh. I remember her putting it in and you know, you got to hear this guy, and explaining the theremin to me.
Yeah.
And like, had no idea what she was talking about. But she's like, you know, and it goes, wah, 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 and I move my finger, he moves his fingers over here and this and that. And I'm like, what are you talking about? But then when I heard it in the song, I was like, wow, that's so awesome. And
my God.
We just listened to that album probably six or seven times on the trip out there.
Oh, wow.
And, you know, like driving through Little America and everything. It's like, oh, we got to put this song on. And so when I got to Seattle, she, you know, she flew back home and it was just stuck in my head. And I had to go find the CD. So I ended up finding the CD and had it in my car. Mm-hmm. And I remember at one point my roommate telling me, if you don't put something else on right now, I'm going to throw that CD out the window. I was just so hooked on it. It just, it was, I'd always liked, like I'd always been interested in the Grateful Dead and liked, mm-hmm. you know, some of that kind of jam music, but I wasn't like hooked on it yet.
Yeah.
But just listening to that album, I couldn't, I don't know. I couldn't get it out of my head. So I just became a huge fan. And then it was like any color I could get my hands on. I did at that point.
Yeah.
But I still was under 21.
Mm-hmm.
And I remember, you know, looking up concerts and he doesn't, or at the time he didn't go out west very often, or mm-hmm. at least to the Seattle area. And any time, like for a couple years, it was like, oh yay, he's going to be here, but it was always 21 plus.
Aww.
And so, I never, like, I think I just kind of gave up on the idea, at the time. And then I got busy with stuff and I, you know, I still started listening to his music, but I never got the chance at that time to see him live.
Oh, wow. That's, you know, it's really great that not only was it a good musical experience, but you got to share that experience of your first time with Keller with your sister on a road trip. Like that's
right.
That's a pretty amazing story. I'm a little jealous. That has to be epic. Oh,
yeah. Man. Yeah. It was great. And actually I don't know, we get to this later, but my sister last year for her birthday last year ended up being able to get her a cameo of Keller singing her a song, and he like made up a song especially for her. So it was kind of like that full circle moment for me of, you know, like returning that of her getting me interested in Keller or just exposing me to his music. And then,
oh my God,
I kind of closed that loop that way.
Yeah, that's awesome. Oh my God. So she still listens to Keller?
Yes, she does. She loves Keller too. I mean, again, mm-hmm. she has a very wide taste in music, but she still listens to Keller. We actually, this past summer, we went to the Caverns in Tennessee together. I took her with me.
That's right.
Yeah. So it was great to go to that and, you know, experience him live with her.
Did you guys go to shows together before that?
We've gone to concerts together, but we haven't gone to any Keller concerts.
The Caverns were your first experience together with Keller live.
Yes. Yeah.
Wow.
Yeah.
Wow. That's exciting.
Yeah, it was very exciting.
Where does your sister live?
Like, she lives in New Hampshire with me. Yeah. Oh, okay. Yeah. So we're both in the same state.
Nice.
So, yeah.
Alrighty. So after you started listening to his music, when did you start finally getting to see him live?
So it was a while, actually, because, like I said, for some reason, I just kind of like gave up on that idea of like seeing him at the time. And then like before I knew it, like years went by and I kind of just like looked it up one day. And actually, so it wasn't until 2017, my first concert.
Oh, wow.
And I just was randomly like, oh my gosh, why don't I see where he's touring and go to a Keller Williams show, you know? And it was really great because my boyfriend at the time I exposed him to Keller Williams and he, you know, ended up being a huge fan too. So, so he was really excited to go see him live as well. So, and it was kind of interesting too, because we scheduled, my first concert was on the Cape in Massachusetts, which is about 3 hours from where I am. So not terrible. But that was like the closest one at the time. And so we ended up buying that, the tickets to that. And then a month later, like there was one in another part of Massachusetts that was a little closer. And we're like, well, you know what? Let's just buy those too. And then like a month later, there was one like literally in the same town. Like that we live in. And so we're okay. Well, I guess we'll see him a third time. So that was great. Yeah. So so we ended up that first year, I think in like a 4 month span, I ended up seeing him three times. so that was great. That was really great.
That's awesome.
Yeah.
Alrighty. So let's talk a little bit about, you know, after COVID hit, like how did your life change when COVID struck? Like, especially with the food truck, how was that impacted?
Yeah. So I actually hadn't started this yet. When COVID hit. So, So my day job, you know, I work in an office building. I do mostly administrative stuff. So, it became, you know, when COVID hit, I started working from home, and then I was kind of just, stuck at home like everybody else for days and days and days without that like human interaction. Mm-hmm. And I had already planned on starting the stand. The stand usually starts in April. So I was planning to start it at that time, but because everything was shut down, it was postponed. So so we didn't actually end up getting to open until I think it was the first weekend in July. We were allowed, the state finally allowed gatherings of 10 or more outside. So it was a little delayed to start. So it was basically just, you know, me being stuck at home, you know, for a while when the cellar shows started, without any interaction other than my boyfriend, you know, who I was with at the time, but he actually worked for a utility. So he was out of the house every day. So it was just,
Oh my God. Yeah, you were just home alone.
Yes, pretty much.
Oh my. So, yeah. I apologize. I called it a food truck. Okay. It's a food stand.
Yes. Yeah.
Okay. It doesn't move.
It's stationary. It's pretty similar. I mean, like we just have very limited supply or very limited space. You know, it just has the one little griddle. So it's not like anything big, but yeah, it is stationary here at the at the flea market, actually, is where I run it. So
well, I hope to someday adventure up there and get to enjoy a lovely something from your stand. I think that would be a fun adventure.
That would be fun. Homemade donuts.
Ooh,
I know. I was thinking Keller is coming in next month or just a couple weeks, actually. And I was like, oh, I should make him some donuts.
Oh, my God. That'd be amazing. Yeah, because we all know he loves donuts.
Exactly.
Alrighty. So I do that in between every question and it's so awkward. I have to cut it out. Alrighty. So, but I can't think of another way to do it.
Right. Another transition.
Yeah.
Transition phrase.
Yeah. No, there's something.
That's all right.
Now I can't do it.
That's okay.
Okay. Here we go. I think I got it now. So how did you first hear about the cellar, if you remember?
So I took a break from social media for a long time. Mm-hmm. And so I, you know, so obviously I wasn't up to speed on Keller's interactions or anything, but I had ended up going because I had purchased the Caverns tickets. I ended up going to his website to see, you know, what was going on with those, if there was any update or anything.
Mm-hmm.
And that's where I saw that. So I think I came in on the 6th or 7th episode. I missed the beginnings, and I remember I was mad at my boyfriend at the time because he, you know, he was the social media guy, so he was supposed to keep me up to speed, and he failed to let me know that was happening. Yeah, so
yeah, he should have kept you in the loop.
Exactly. Yeah, because I said, I was like, oh my gosh, he's doing these virtual concerts, and he's like, yeah, oh yeah, I knew, I saw that. And I'm like, hello. Yeah.
Wow.
So, but yeah, so I ended up finding out that way, and then I also bought the ticket to the very first one. I think it was the April Fool's show.
The sea can breathe. Is this happening? Happy April Fools, everybody. My name is Keller Williams. Welcome to Live from Keller Cellar, episode number 9. 9? I think it's 9, maybe 10. Is it Wednesday?
I bought the ticket and totally forgot about
it.
So I did miss that show, unfortunately, but I was able to make it to the second one.
Mm-hmm. That's awesome.
Yeah.
Did your boyfriend watch it with you then, or did you just watch it by yourself?
Yeah, he did. I mean, it was hard because it's late, you know, it starts at 9 o'clock on the East Coast.
Mm-hmm.
And, you know, we're old. So that's kind of late, you know, for us. Well, you know, especially at the time, we were both getting up very early in the morning. So mm-hmm. So we did watch it, but it was
right to bed after that then.
Exactly. Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
Exactly. Or sometimes, you know, let's just take the laptop into the bedroom and like settle in and just kind of
get comfy and wind down. Yeah.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah. So we both watched for a while, but I was the one kind of on the, you know, on the controls of the laptop, and and I noticed that lovely chat on the side, and I started to see like the same names, and you know, and then obviously the interesting names like Go-Go McSprinkles that Keller would call out, or you know, I mean I remember like Amy Colligan, because obviously Keller, you know, said her name probably 4 times or something.
Yeah, like 4 times every episode, I swear to God.
Yeah,
not that I'm jealous.
No, of course not. But I was like, well, I gotta befriend this Amy Colligan woman. She has an in, right? Obviously.
Right.
So it's actually kind of a little outside of my normal character to jump in like that. But, you know, it's something nice about it being on the internet, and like kind of helps with some of that social anxiety, because it's like, who cares? You know what I mean? Like if you make a fool out of yourself, maybe I'll never see these people again. So it doesn't really matter, kind of thing.
Exactly.
And that gave me enough, you know, enough courage to go and like just kind of put myself out there. And I, you know, obviously it didn't take very long for me to realize that like it's a wonderful group of people who were very welcoming and you know, and very entertaining as well. So
there's never a dull moment, that's for sure.
No, definitely not. Yes.
Yeah. I missed that chat. Oh my God.
I know, it's great. And it was funny too, you know, in the beginning, you know, I came on like the sixth or seventh episode, and even then it was a little slower, but it wasn't very long until it did pick up and we started getting, you know, a lot of people in that chat. So, so it was great.
Yeah. Oh yeah, it was good times.
And yeah. And my first episode, I don't even remember. I don't think I was even participating in the chat yet, the very first episode. And I just like randomly typed super hot chick in the chat. And I was like, cause I didn't know the format yet or anything. And I was like shocked because he actually played it, that show. And,
Holosimo, every super hot girl in the front row, there's a super insecure dude standing behind her, holding on to her waist as she pelvic thrusts the stage. No more reaction to the ground.
Oh my God, you know, somebody's listening to me. And of course, aww, you know, now we know Emily is monitoring the chat, but I didn't know that at the time. And so I was just like, I, you know, it was so crazy to me that to have that interaction. And actually he ended the show with it, but it got cut off, so he started the next one to played it again for me on the next show. And so after that, of course, I was like, I am here. Like, aww, you know, any show he does, I am here and I am paying attention, because that was just so amazing. And that's, yeah, awesome. Just to have that interaction piece with him, you know, is so amazing.
That's like, you know, we do the replays once in a while in the Discord server, and it's awesome because it kind of scratches that itch, but you know, you're not getting a new shout out, you know, it's
right. Exactly.
That interaction part's missing, and it's like, oh, it's just not the same. I hope that like during the winter time or something, he starts doing some of these, like even once a month doing these would be so great.
Oh, that would be amazing.
It's been way too long. It's It's been, what, 6 months now, I think. I think the last one was in May.
Yeah.
I think. It's been ages. Ugh. So
yeah, it has been.
Would you say that that was your favorite Seller moment when he did Super Hot Chick for you? Or do you have a different
There are moment? So many. It's hard. It is hard. And I feel so spoiled too, because like, you know, like to say, oh, well, that was my favorite. And then, you know, and then another one happened and another one happened. And then not even just like for me, you know, there's other moments that were great. Like, and that was part of what was really amazing to me about the Seller experience was that, like, the more, you know, I got to know the people, the more it's like I get excited for their shout outs. Or, yes. You know, when their song gets played, then you're mm-hmm. like, oh, yay, you know. And so there's just so many great moments of mm-hmm. just that sense of community and just what? Those like bright spots in such a dark time, you know.
Yeah. Wasn't there a time where he said your real name instead of Helisimo?
Yes. Hello, Christina.
Yes.
And I remember
he did.
Like losing my mind, like, oh my God, he knows her real name. Like, I was so excited for you. I think I almost had a stroke. I was like, oh my God.
Yes. Well, so yeah, I guess that just kind of jogged my memory on probably my favorite Seller moment, which is separate actually, but I ended up putting my request on Facebook and like specifically not saying who I was, because so that way he just had my actual name. So he it was Dubstep that I requested.
Oh,
or
yeah,
actually
yeah,
just
yeah.
requested some Dubstep. And then he played Dubstep, and that was the line. Yeah, he said, like, you know, I'm the only one who likes the dubstep. And then he said, well, Christina, because she requested it, you know. And but it was like this throaty mm-hmm. Christina. And so you know, I was like, Carmen. And she's like, yep, I gotcha. I'll voice clip that for you. So like, thanks. Yeah, aww. She's great. Yeah, that was great. But that did just kind of remind me. And now, again, I feel kind of selfish after saying that. I like when other people get their stuff too. But so my favorite Seller moment actually has to do with one of my favorite Keller moments, which was during the pandemic. Keller played a private show in New Jersey, but Emily ended up sharing that information with the Cellar Dwellers, which again is so amazing that we have that connection
mm-hmm.
now.
Oh, yeah.
So she shared that, you know, the pre-link, and it was very well socially distanced. You have to buy a whole pod, and they had a mm-hmm. VIP experience where you got, you know, one of the front row pods. But after the show, Keller and a group of 30 people would be sitting around a campfire, and Keller would play his acoustic guitar, and I was like, oh my God, I have to do this, right?
Yeah.
Like, and I remember thinking like, oh, but I think New Jersey was like kind of a hot spot for COVID at the time, and I was like, oh, I don't know if I can do it. But I kind of like did the math on, and it's like a five and a half hour drive, and it took like exactly a tank of gas to get down there. So I was like, if I don't get out of my car, so I literally just drove straight there. And then in New Jersey, they pump your gas for you. So I didn't even have to get out of the car. You pump my gas. And then I just like went right to the venue, went to the show, and then like turned around and drove home that night. Like, so I was like, you know, that's fine. I could made it work. But actually, that's the first show that I met a dweller that I hadn't known previously, which thank goodness, because I was like, I can't afford a full pod by myself. And I didn't have anyone that could go with me. So I ended up meeting PJ Sunset, which was awesome that he stepped in, and he was actually prepared to just like pay my whole ticket, which was amazing. But you know, he was so sweet about that. So so I ended up going with him, but the pods were big enough that he was at one side and I was like definitely 6 feet away at the other end. So it was like still had that good social distance feel, and we were right up front. It was amazing, you know, to see just that concert itself, because it had been so long since I'd seen any like live music, and the concert itself was amazing. But at the end, we all go, you know, we're VIP, get ushered in, and there were only four people that ended up buying that package. So there were four of us and Keller around a campfire.
I hate you.
And I'm sorry. And the other two people, though, were Foss and mm-hmm. and his wife, which was great. And it was actually his birthday. So so that was a great experience for him. But we're sitting around the campfire, and I, you know, they're like, so Keller's like, well, there's only four of you, so you guys tell me what to play. And it's like, okay, well, I just heard two full sets of you already playing. You know, what other songs do I want to hear? You know, there were some great songs, and I'm sitting there thinking, okay, and it's acoustic. So like there's certain songs of Keller's that I love, but I like, you know, the looping and that sort of thing. So I was trying to think of a song that I'd want to listen to acoustic, you know, and Restraint came to mind. But then I was like, that might be a little strange to be like, here, serenade me with Restraint, right?
I never hesitate to request that song. That's my favorite song. And I love it.
It is a great song. But I was reminded of One Hit Wonder, which is one of my favorite Keller songs, actually, just from that first album that I heard of his. That was my favorite song that drew me to him, kind of thing. And he never plays it live. So
no, he doesn't, does he?
So yeah, so I was like, that's it. That's the one. So I said, you know, I don't know if you know all the words, because I know he likes to, like, you know, practice songs in this whatever before he plays them. So, but, you know, One Hit Wonder would be great. And he was like, oh, okay. So he comes over, and he actually sat right next to me.
Oh my
and
God.
And so he's singing, and he's like pretending to forget the words so that I had to sing along with him. And it was just so amazing. He's just the greatest. And like,
I think I would have died from happiness.
I was so ecstatic. God. And it was funny too, because when I met him, like when he was like, oh, you know, we all introduced ourselves. He was like, I was like, and I'm Halissimo. And he's like, you're Halissimo? Like he was excited to meet me. And I was like, oh my God, this is like heaven right now. So, so that was one of the best experiences of my life, obviously. But the story started as my favorite Seller moment. So fast forward to Thanksgiving, when I'm staying at my parents, because we're all quarantining together now. And and I was like, okay, but there's this show on Wednesday that I have to watch. Like, I don't care. Like, we're watching this, right? So my dad has this giant TV set up, and like this like amazing sound system, and it wasn't working. Like, it was this big ordeal to get it, you know. My dad's like, what is this thing that you're, you know? I'm like, just watch it, it'll be great, you know, whatever, it doesn't matter.
Yeah, shut up and watch.
Yeah, exactly. So we finally get it working right before the show starts, and Wendy Klein had requested One Hit Wonder, and I was like, oh, that's my song, you know. It's like, but it was fine. So he starts singing it, and then he closes his eyes and he goes, Halissimo, do you remember?
In and out, and nobody gets hurt. Halissimo, you remember? Record label Mafia. Ooh.
And I was like, I was speechless, and my mom knows my screen name, and my mom goes, oh my goodness, you know. And my dad's like, what just happened? He looks at me, and I'm just like completely, like, you know, flabbergasted. And I was just so that was an amazing Seller moment.
Holy just shit,
just that connection. I'm like, yes, of course I remember. And like, he remembered. And like, it was just perfect. So
That's amazing. Holy shit.
Yeah, that was great.
So,
and then, in our little like Discord chat, everybody's like, remember what? Christina, what you know, or Halissimo, what is that about? So,
yeah, wow. Great. So, when you met him, like when you go to shows, like you do all that without smoking pot, like you do that sober.
Right. Yes.
I guess my brain struggles to understand what that's like, because I get so into the music. Like, do you, right, feel the music, like, when you're not smoking? Like, how does it feel to be at a show of Kellers?
Yeah, so it's hard because I can't really say, you know, I've never been to a concert while stoned, so I can't really like compare the experience. But yes, I mean, and that's one of the things I love about Keller. I've been to a lot of different, you know, shows of a lot of musicians that I really love, but something about a Keller's music, the way that he is live, like, and, you know, just his energy just totally comes through at a concert. So I still am able to completely get into the music. And, you know, I'm not a huge dancer. I have, you know, three left feet. And, but like, I don't care at a Keller concert because I just have to move, you know, I just have to live that music that I'm hearing. So I do still get completely immersed in it. And I've heard, like, I know you had like an almost religious experience. But, you know, so I wouldn't say that, you know, I've ever had that intense of an experience, but I still definitely do get very immersed in the music and feel it. And I'm always, you know, in an amazing mood after I leave, just from, you know, just from being there, but also from, you know, moving my body in a way that matches the beautiful tones and everything. And it's just, it's a great experience still.
Nice. Well, that gives me hope because I'm going to challenge myself to attend at least one show sober. I want to, I like, for me, pot is so ingrained in Keller's music. It's like, it's almost weird to listen to it while sober, I guess, for me. So it's like, I've got to relearn how to enjoy his music.
Right.
And I'm not stoned. And it's like, I'm worried that if I go to a concert sober, I'm going to be like, I can't feel it. I can't dance. I can't groove. But I guess if other people can enjoy it while they're not smoking pot, I can do it too.
Yeah.
So you give me hope.
Yes, definitely. I don't know. I mean, it's hard because I don't smoke. So,
have you ever?
You know, I'm used to like doing activities anyway, you know, and enjoying things anyway, sober. I have. I used to when I was younger, a lot, but I actually suffering from anxiety when I smoked. And so I kind of had to like step back from it and ended up just kind of quitting. And actually, you know, that was one of the things for me when I was younger is I would get very self-conscious and I didn't end up wanting to be around people when I was smoking. So, So I kind of stepped back and then I was like, okay, well, I could, you know, I could smoke by myself. But then it was like, then that just felt like, I don't know, you know, I'd still have some anxiety by myself and I'd still get down on myself. And so I was like, why am I doing this? You know? And so, so that process of learning to enjoy things without being stoned happened a lot longer ago for me, you know, before I even found music in that way. So I've already kind of processed that out of it. But I'm not completely sober. I might have a drink at a show, but I don't drink that much either. So it is more about enjoying the music. Yeah. In the community.
Yeah. I think that's what's going to be different for me now. It's like, I'm not going to be alone at shows. So I've come to realize that, well, my therapist helped me realize that I was using pot as a way to hide from my emotions. And so now I'm facing my emotions. I'm not using pot as a crutch, but it's like, I feel like I can't enjoy things without pot. So I'm trying to relearn how to enjoy everything. And it's scary because like I would basically, if I wasn't at work, if I wasn't on the clock, I was stoned. And I'm like, when I was able to take a step back and look at it, I'm like, I was just sitting at home stoned, just doing everything. And then I thought, if it was alcohol, I'd be an alcoholic. Like, it's like, that's not just having fun. That's, I can't cope without it. And when I did stop, I went into this horrible depression. There was like, oh God, a good two weeks where it was like, I'd go to work and then just come home and crawl in bed and I would just cry. I'm like, what am I doing? I'm so miserable. But I plowed through it and now I'm regaining my composure, I guess. Like, I feel like I can get back on my feet and go back to being Go-Go. Because I thought, well, Go-Go's dead if I don't have pot in my life. Like, how can I be Go-Go?
Right.
And not be stoned all the time? And it's like, no, I'm still Go-Go. I just have to rev up that engine or something. So it's been a huge struggle for me. But I think starting to get excited. Like, I'm starting to do the stuff that I used to enjoy while stoned. And it's like, okay, I can have fun and not be stoned. Yeah. It's a huge revelation for me.
Yeah, definitely. Well, and it's definitely hard when that, I mean, a lot of people who smoke, it kind of becomes a part of their personality, and it's definitely becomes a part of your, you know, every day. So when you take that away, you know, I can imagine that it would be difficult to kind of, okay, how do I do these same things that I'm so used to having pot be a part of? But
yeah, like,
you know,
the podcast, I'm like, I always smoked before I had to record, and I'm like, okay, I cracked open a beer, but I'm like, I just have to talk. I'm like, I don't talk if I'm not stoned. So just even interacting socially, it's like,
right.
But at the same time, then I've already built up relationships with everybody. So it's like, well, you know, it's not a stranger, it's Halissimo. You know, it's like I set the groundwork and now I just have to continue building it. But it's been a hell of a journey. And I still miss it. Like every day I have that moment where like, fuck it, I'm just going to smoke. I'm like, well, no, I don't need to. I'm saving it for like social occasions. Like, so when we all get together in person, you know, I'll just smoke like a chimney, or when, you know, it's my birthday or something, like when I usually have a drink. Like, I don't usually drink every night.
Right.
So, you know, whenever I have a drink, like it's more of a social thing. So I want to try to do it in that respect but I'm scared at this point. If I start smoking again, I'm scared I'm not going to stop. So I have to build up a little bit more confidence in myself first. So,
yeah. And I think I, you know, having patience with the process is a big thing too.
Horrible.
But the more you like kind of relearn how to enjoy those activities sober, you know, the easier it'll be. And then you'll find things that you, you know, enjoy just as much as smoking or whatever. And then you can kind of go from there.
That's true.
But yeah, I think it's just kind of that getting back into the habit of being sober just takes time, unfortunately.
but it's doable. I can do
it. It's doable. Yeah. And life is still enjoyable, you know, even without. And it sounds like you're at least, you know, addressing some of the reasons why you did use. So
yes,
that's
I realized I was doing it to avoid the stress of parenting and the stress of housekeeping, because whenever I got really depressed, I'm like, why am I so sad? I'm like, I hate this house. I hate being home. I hate how dirty it is. I hate how mean my kids are. So finally I started listening to self-help podcasts. I'm like, okay, someone's got to help me get out of this. And they started talking about, you know, like just finding new perspectives and stuff. And so finally I'm like, okay, so one of the ones said something like, you're making this choice to eat unhealthy or, you know, like to not deal with your problems, like kind of like woke me up out of it. Like, hey, I can actually do something about this. So now I kind of flit around the house and clean it. I'm like, okay, I'm making the choice to keep my house dirty. So why am I doing that? And why, like, if it's voluntarily like stressing me out. So I'm trying to keep the house a little bit cleaner so I can feel proud of it and not be sad when I look around the room. I'm like, it's just so dirty. I hate it so much. You're completely right. I am addressing it. I'm looking at the problems and not trying to run from them anymore. And I thought, if I can get a grip on that, maybe I can go back to using on a casual basis. So, so that way, because like I haven't really listened to Keller, because it's like there's that craving to get really stoned and dance like an idiot. And it's like,
oh, yep.
I can't do that sober yet. And I'm like, I've got to work up the courage to turn on Keller. It's been like a month and a half since I've listened to his music. So it's like, I got to turn him on and feel it without the pot. And I've got to get to that point. So I'll get there. I know I will.
Yeah. You'll get there. Yeah. Get there for sure.
If I can work on the depression part, get past that, not need the pot, I should be able to enjoy every moment. So.
Yeah. Yeah. I stopped smoking for a very long time. And then actually during the pandemic, I was like, you know what? I started taking CBD oil. Mm-hmm. And for some reason that, like, I think it was like the taste of it or something. And I was like, kind of like, well, maybe I'll, you know, maybe I'll dabble and try it. Because, and also, like, you know, the idea that with all the dispensaries now, mm-hmm. you know, the idea that you kind of have an idea of how much, you know, and
there's some control to it.
And I started thinking about how, you know, there are cases where the pot will cause anxiety, but it's usually mm-hmm. when you've consumed too much THC. So I kind of started thinking about, well, what if I just have just a little bit, you know, and, mm-hmm. and I did. And I, so I did smoke a little this past summer.
Mm-hmm.
But same thing, I was very, very stressed out and I was going through some depression as well. Mm-hmm. And I started smoking maybe just like literally just one hit and then I would dump it and that would be it. And, mm-hmm. and it allowed me to kind of relax without feeling guilty because, and I'm reminded of this when you were saying, like, you know, I had so much going on last year because, I was working like 50 or 60 hours at my day job and then doing the stand on top of it.
Oh,
and,
my God.
You know, I couldn't keep up with vacuuming every day, or I couldn't mm-hmm. keep up necessarily with doing the dishes and still have some downtime for myself. So, mm-hmm. so what I would end up doing is like taking the downtime and then feeling bad about like uh-huh. not doing the dishes yep. the whole time I'm quote unquote relaxing. Mm-hmm. So
it's horrible.
right. So for me, it was kind of like, well, if I'm smoking, then like I'm not thinking about the dishes and I'm actually mm-hmm. kind of getting that downtime where I can actually like veg out and watch TV and not feel guilty about it. But then it kind of became a crutch for me as well. And you know, and so I kind of thought about that too. It would took me a little while to realize like that's what the draw of it was for me.
Mm-hmm.
And actually also having this food stand and having a friolator at my disposal and everything, you know, then I get the munchies. Right.
Oh,
so
Jesus.
Yeah. So that wasn't a very healthy habit for uh-huh. me. So I kind of realized like, okay, well maybe I can find other ways of like, you know, radical acceptance so that mm-hmm. I can actually have my downtime and enjoy my downtime and also like save time to do the dishes when I need to and that sort of thing. And so as I worked that out and kind of realized like maybe I don't have to have, you know, this in order to allow myself that me time, mm-hmm. Then I just kind of was able to go with that. So I actually haven't, I haven't smoked probably, I maybe like, I'd say since January. So,
oh, wow. That's
yeah.
impressive.
Yeah. Yeah. So it wasn't a huge habit for me anyway, but I just, you know, I haven't really needed it.
Good.
And I don't, you know, I don't look down on it or I don't see anything wrong with doing it. It's just not anything that I really need. But I think a lot of it is that mindset shift of how else can you look at things without, mm-hmm. you know, without yeah. relying on that.
Well, I've come to realize that the self-help podcasts, they really get my mojo going. So I thought,
that's good. That's a good substitute,
yeah.
right?
Oh my God, yeah. I love it. Like I get all jazzed up. Right now I'm listening to a food weight loss one and I'm like, oh yeah, I got this. This is, you know, it's in the bag.
Great.
I'm going to be skinny in no time. Like
yeah.
They're very motivating if you find the right one. So I thought use it as my tool. So if I start feeling myself going down that wormhole of I'm smoking too much to run away from my pain, maybe I can use the podcast to help motivate me again. Cause listening to this one lady, she kept talking about how much she loves making podcasts. And I'm like, yeah, I used to love that too. I'm like, wait a minute, I'm the one stopping myself from doing it. So here I
right.
am.
Yeah. Well, that's great.
Yeah. So I'm excited about the future. I think I can find a happy medium to keep myself stable and balanced. And
yeah.
I didn't mean to turn this into a big, long session about me and my depression.
No, that's fine. No, it's good. And I think it's great, honestly. You know, I also struggled with some mental health things recently, mm-hmm. and I think a lot of people do. And it's really, really helpful for everyone when, on top of being immensely beneficial for you, when you can acknowledge that and acknowledge that, like, yes, I'm working through these things, and mm-hmm. and be open about it, because it helps other people realize that, like, oh, this is a normal thing that people go through. And, mm-hmm. you know, it's obviously when you're going through it, it's the worst thing in the world. Oh. And you feel like you're alone. But when mm-hmm. you start to realize that other people go through it, other people have ways of coping with it and getting through it. And you know, it kind of helps give you that hope and helps, oh, yeah. you know, you move forward. So
definitely.
Yeah.
I know the one lady, I can't remember which podcast it was. I was looking up like daily affirmations, you know, when I was really depressed.
Oh, yep.
Mm-hmm. And she said, acknowledging what's going on inside you is the biggest step you can make. Acknowledging you're sad and depressed is like yes. the biggest first step. And I thought, okay, well, I'm there. So
right.
it took the hardest step. So everything right. else should be easier than that. And it's like, okay. So it helped me kind of re-examine how bad things were, I guess. I don't know. But
yeah.
Self-help podcasts. They're out there and they're amazing.
Yes. Yeah, that's great. Yeah, I'll have to look into that, because I've been just doing a lot of just reflection on my own. Mm-hmm. But I also have a therapist, and that's been immensely helpful. Yeah, definitely. But also, you know, music mm-hmm. really has helped me through a lot of things. And even just, again, not to turn this into a giant mental health segment, but like, you know, even just listening to some songs that I always listened to before, in like some of them, like the lyrics just have clicked recently. And I'm like, oh my goodness, you know, and it's like concepts that I've been aware of for so long, but for some reason they're just like, the more I think about it, and the more I think about how I need to build certain tools or what I need to grow and keep moving forward, like mm-hmm. the more things just kind of click for me, and they come, and it's like, oh, okay, yeah, that makes total sense, you know, and I can live this now, and I can move forward, you know, and it's mm-hmm. just, but it's amazing to me how many of those like little mini epiphanies come from just listening to music and mm-hmm. listening to the lyrics. And
yeah, oh yeah, that's awesome.
Yeah, great.
Alrighty, my dear, I've got one last question for you here.
Sure.
Now that we're kind of on the other side of COVID, almost, hopefully, kind of.
Right. Yeah.
What are your hopes for the future as far as seeing Keller live? Like, what do you envision your Keller adventures to look like?
So I do have two Keller shows coming up in just a couple of weeks. So I'm very excited to see. Okay. See them. I do appreciate that Keller still is, you know, asking people to wear masks and asking mm-hmm. that people be vaccinated, which makes me feel a lot safer about it. Mm-hmm. But you had asked about post-COVID. So it's kind of funny, because I do like to go to shows and I do like to dance, but I am not big on people in my personal space. Mm-hmm. I actually kind of really liked a lot of the social distancing things they had in place, right? In my perfect world, those social distancing things would remain, but I know that mm-hmm. you know, it doesn't allow for as many people in the venue and that sort of thing. So so I don't think I'm really like answering your question here, but I feel like, yeah, I will continue to go to shows post-COVID as long as they are around, and as long as Keller is touring, I will continue to throw my money at him in any way. So,
nice.
Awesome. Yes.
Alrighty. So that's all I have for you. So is there anything else you wanted to add? Any other Keller stories that you would like to regale us with?
I do have more Keller stories, but I don't think that they all need to be divulged. Yes, exactly. Yeah. gotta save some stuff. Right, exactly. All right.
Sounds all good. Right. Well, thank you again so much for taking time to chat with me here today.
Oh, no problem. Thank you for inviting me and
All righty. Well, you have a good night.
All right. Thank you. You too.
Thanks. Bye bye. Alrighty, so now I have to figure out how to be sober go-go. Today's random Keller jam is It's a Plant, in honor of the topic that we discussed today. I found this really old great version that he sang in 1997 at Gina's Margarita Croquet Party. It's a pretty good version. He almost sings it like a lullaby. It's a beautiful version. So please take some time and enjoy my choice for random Keller jam. It was kind of a challenge to listen to the song because this was one of the songs I was kind of scared to listen to without pot in my life. So I did it, and it's a really great version to do it too. So please enjoy. Anyway, now my tagline seems kind of stupid. I'm going to go. I'm gonna go, I guess. I'm just gonna go and do that to the best of my ability. Peace, love, and K-Dub.
Well, it's a plant, but it can't grow freely, at least not in the space and time. Can we begin? Shouldn't it be a sin? Fighting against the soldiers of sense that brings peace to my mind, peace to my mind. Oh, why is it a crime? Against the law, I hope this freeze will thaw before I die from this space and time. And the politics, folks the nation picks, are they afraid to try? They're afraid to try. Make sure that it's the right thing for you, but if you pass, please allow us to roll around in the grass, because it's time, it's 420, 24/7, 365, and the nation's dead, makes the man upset. And time. Create the work, plow the damn dirt, medicine, clothes, and the paper that makes my head feel fine. My head feels fine. Oh, why is it a crime? Grass, because it's time, it's 420, 24/7, 365, 424 to be exact. Yeah. Well, is it meant to be? Is that far away from reality? Open up the world's mind and free the dank. It can lube the cars, mellow out the bars, make room in jail for the killers this time. Because it's just a plant.